It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, an Odyssey sports station.
All right, 4:04 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugau with Lugi Tiki Barber. Now, Teak, I was at Giants camp today, but that's not really what I want to talk about. Of course, I was in New Jersey, and I had to stop at Wawa. And
Wawa.
I've been,
Wawa.
The best. I had the honey, spicy honey BLT. It was delicious. I went with the Doritos, the whole deal. I was basically making love to it in the newsroom. But my thing is this. Now, obviously, I was a Long Island guy. Then I lived in the city. Now I live in Kew Gardens. I went to college in PA. That's where I first found Wawa and fell in love. Mm-hmm. And I'm always so jealous of you Jerseyites. And I don't know if there's a PSA or a call to action or whatever it is. We need to get Wawa's in New York and in Long Island. I'm sure there's somebody sitting there right now. Well, Tommy, they're upstate. I'm talking about New York. Yeah. New York City, Long Island. We need Wawa's here, Teak.
I would think Long Island because there's enough space. Because think about a Wawa. It's massive.
Yeah.
And I think in New York, it's never going to happen in New York City. I'm trying to think in like Queens, just over, you know, the bridge, if there's even space there. I just don't think there's space. Right, you think how much room it would need?
It's not building a football stadium.
But a lot of them have gas stations, but they're huge. Like these things are massive, and so to make it worth it, I think Wawa would need more space than is available. Now, you push further out on the island, 100%. There's tons of room, but it is the easiest, convenience place there is. I love going to Wawa.
Oh, the sandwiches!
You literally get whatever you want.
The iced coffee. Now, I went to school, like I said, East Stroudsburg University in PA, and it was right across from campus. And, you know, you go out, you get drunk, and I'm not saying I did this, but there was a lot of, you know, five-finger discounts going on. You buy a sandwich, and you buy four things. If you slip a fifth one in the bag, it happens. I'm not saying I did that, but perhaps I knew people that did that. And that's where I fell in love with the sandwich process. Plus, there was congregating by the sandwiches. Maybe some pretty girls would walk in. Just get them to Long Island. Now, my wife told me this. Apparently, all you need to do is if there's land, you could put a Wawa there. It's not like you have to, like, say, not like Mr. Wawa has to put Wawas in Long Island. Anybody could put a Wawa on Long Island if they want to. That's what my wife told me that. Huh. She's also the real-life Cosmo Kramer.
You don't have to do the licensing thing?
I don't know about that, but I guess all these years I thought, is there a reason why? Are they, like, banned in New York? Is there a reason, like, do the Wawa people not want to be in New York? And I don't think that's the case. I think anybody can open a Wawa up on Long Island in New York. It's just nobody has yet.
Interesting.
I would think it's like a franchisee. Yeah, to your, right. I would think you need to pay whoever owns Wawa to open up a Wawa.
But why wouldn't you is my point. That is an absolute moneymaker.
If it's just a franchise fee, then somebody should have done it already.
Does 7-Eleven have too much market share in the Tri-State area? Is that it maybe?
I mean, it's a competitor.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a monopoly. It's like,
fair.
Right, so you got to be able to have competition.
Absolutely, and there's just so many, like, you come into the city, there's 900,000 Starbucks or whatever. I mean, like, there's a million different places, like, you see that. I just don't understand why we can't get one damn Wawa in Nassau County. I really don't understand it. And like I said, it's not like it's a, you know, Piggly Wiggly down south or something that's, or what's that, Bucky's, or there are so many right in the tri-state area here in New Jersey, wherever. I think Connecticut has Wawas, I believe. The fact that it's not New York, the greatest city in the world, like we don't have a Wawa, to me is absolutely ridiculous. Now, Pete Alonso, if you're just tuning in, Evan and Tiki here, Lugi Tiki. Pete Alonso has been moved to fifth in the order, and Alonso obviously had his struggles. over the weekend, and he's not hitting with runners in scoring position. Pete Alonso did meet the media today. Tiki, would you like to hear it?
Let's hear it.
All right, Paulie.
The numbers are not quite where they usually are. Just, is there anything you can put a finger on of why you haven't fully been able to come around, do you think?
I'm in a position where, I mean, I'm on pace for close to 40 homers. I'm an all-star, I was an all-star this year, so I think that, to beat myself up or be frustrated, it's really no use. And I'm really excited for the end of the year where we get to play winning baseball. So I'm really excited. I'm happy with what I've accomplished this year so far, and I think that there's definitely going to be some opportunities that I'm looking forward to capitalizing on.
I guess so. Did he say he was an all-star?
He did.
Yes, he did.
That's like me going around saying I'm a generational talent. Sometimes you have to be your own cheerleader. No one else is going to do it for you.
Yeah, that's funny because that's what it felt like. Like he was self-cheerleading a little bit there with the all-star thing. But is he right? Yes, he's got the right attitude, the right mindset. You can't let it like take over your preparation and performance. You can't. You got to just assume that it's going to fix itself. But I think the problem is getting to the point where he might have to be proactive in changing something. I don't know what it is, even if it's just to do it for change's sake, because the lack of production, the success is happening. Can you imagine if he was having an average season for him, how good this Mets team would be, right? If he was also footing the bill and clutch in moments that he needed to be. This Mets team would be so dangerous. Their lineup would be so dangerous, and it's just not. And so he's saying all the right things, but sometimes when you have to start saying the right things and it's not just you doing it, it's just you're making it even more complicated for yourself. I feel for Pete. I feel bad for him because I don't think he knows why he's not performing or producing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like certain guys, it's like, something's off with my approach, or I got this little hitch in my hamstring, and it's taking me off my game a little bit. I don't think he has a clue what's wrong.
Yeah, we just played the sound here, and look, Pete Alonso, good dude, charitable dude, but in front of the microphone, he doesn't always have the greatest charisma, he doesn't always answer the questions like properly the way we'd want to hear him, and he is a little bit socially awkward. In a lot of ways, if Evan had power, he would be Pete Alonso. Like, he's just a little bit of an awkward guy, so you take everything he says with a little bit of a grain of salt because he is socially awkward, but he's also in a contract year, so he's going to build himself up, he's going to say he was an all-star, he's going to say he's on pace for 40 home runs, and I'm cool with that.
Which is
cool.
All factual.
Absolutely. I love being a Met.
He loves being a Met, and I think he will be a Met. But
I don't think any of that is nothing wrong with saying any of that. But at the end of the day, you got to produce.
Absolutely.
That's all we care about.
If you think you are the future of WFAN like I do, you should say it all the time. Let's go to Kendrick and Suffren. What's up, Kendrick?
Boys, I've been leading this parade here with the Pete Alonso, the motion talk for quite a bit now. And I have to say, as a Mets fan, I'm not happy. And Tiki, to your point, I feel bad for the guy now. I don't want to beat the guy down while he's,
right,
you know, struggling, hearing all these calls. But I will say, Tiki, you know, everyone points to Grimace. And you and I were in lockstep with this when it wasn't Grimace. Obviously, we were having fun with it.
Yep.
But that game actually was the same night that Pete was put down to the fourth, to the cleanup hitter when he was hitting third.
Right, that's correct.
And so I'm kind of hoping that this is the accountability that I had asked for a months back, and you guys were asking, like, what do I want for Pete? Like, what is it that they should do to Pete? And this is exactly it. And yeah. I called last week, and I've been calling. I even said, and I heard Ronnie and Steve Gelbs on the call yesterday talking about how Pete hasn't had a day off. And you look at Jeff McNeil and what revitalized his season was, you know what, Jose Iglesias showed up and he took his spot, and Jeff had some days off between the All-Star break and Jose taking some of the reps at second base. I don't think Pete needs to be benched for a week. I don't think Pete needs to be benched
at all,
you know,
right,
for a few games.
It's just give him a day off.
But when Tiki, when you're talking about, like, he doesn't know what's wrong, he needs a day to just get his mind right.
Right.
And I want to add just one more thing about this whole Alonso demotion in the lineup, or however you want to look at it. The fact that he's willing to do this is a good sign. You know, you got to look at the positive when the guy is down. I don't think he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Although
I don't know if willing is the right way. 'Cause I don't think he was asked. Do you?
So No. Well, who knows? Because with the All-Star week, he was asked, and he said the only way he's going to do it is he did the Home Run Derby. So he clearly has some sway here.
Yeah.
But Tommy, listen, Mankind was the king of the cheap pop in the Attitude Era.
Yes, he was.
Here's the other thing with the cheap pop king, Pete Alonso. People are talking about how he's hitting 198 and with runners in scoring position. The other issue here, though, Tommy, is this. He's hitting 350 when the games are 5 runs or more difference. And when you add up those two factors, I mean, the guy is only hitting over 200 basically this season because of his numbers when games are lost. So we want to talk about meaningful stats.
Or they've run away from it already.
Right. So, you know what? I hope, you know, maybe he can get some protection with Vientos behind him, or I didn't even see the whole lineup. I just saw that he was fifth. But he just needs to get going. He needs to get his mind right. And even yesterday when he was on first in the, the eighth inning there, or the ninth inning when he got hit by the pitch.
Yeah.
The other part of it is he can't even get pinch run for in that situation. I would have loved for Taylor to run for him, and maybe he steals second. And then when Winker gets the hit, he scores instead of going first to third. But they need to give this guy a mental break.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that, Kendrick. Kendrick, the problem with that is who's Pete Alonso's agent?
Yeah, Scott Boras is not allowing that to
happen. Scott Boras is not going to allow that to happen. We saw that with Juan Soto this year where it looked like the Yankees were going to keep him out a little bit, and Soto magically got back in the lineup.
Uh-huh.
Scott Boras is not going to allow his clients in a walk year to be benched for whoever. He's going to play every single day.
Yeah, but that's almost, not almost, it actually is putting individual over team, right? The individual's long-term goal, that is a big contract, over what the team needs, and that is him to take a rest day, take a siesta for just a night, one night, give him one day off. By the way, the rest of the lineup, because Kendrick mentioned, Lindor leading off, Tyrone Taylor playing right field, is batting second, Nimmo playing left field, batting third, J.D. Martinez cleaning up, DHing, obviously Pete Alonso in the fifth, as we talked about, five spot playing first base, Jose Iglesias playing third base, Jeff McNeil playing second, is batting seventh. Alvarez catching is eighth, and Harrison Bader in center field is batting ninth. No Mark Vientos in the lineup today. So, I mean, is this going to help? Is him being behind, kind of in a way protecting, you could say, J.D. Martinez, is that going to help? And with Iglesias behind him, who's still, you know, OPS is damn near 900, is that put him in a more advantageous spot? On paper, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep.
But he's still got to go do it, right? He's still got to go put bat on ball and do some damage, which he has not been doing a lot this season at all.
No, and listen, with Pete Alonso, again, I'm a massive Pete Alonso supporter. I have gone on record saying that Pete Alonso is the most prolific power hitter in baseball. And the reason I've said that, and I've been, you know, ridiculed for that, is since 2019, he's got the most home runs. Now, I believe Judge has now tied him, but when I said that, he was the most prolific power hitter, he had the most. And even if they're tied, if Alonso hits a homer today, he goes in front of Aaron Judge. So I believe in Pete Alonso. I believe in what he brings to the table. I believe that when you hit over 40 home runs and 100 RBIs, you are an impactful player in the lineup. I credit Mendoza for this, because a lot of guys might have just kept him where he was. We saw it with Lindor moving him to the leadoff spot. Now you move Alonso to fifth, and you know he's a prideful guy. You know he has an ego. We brought up Scott Boras. I'm sure they had to probably clear this with Scott.
Yeah.
But moving him in the order in fifth, that takes a lot of stones to do that. And this, you would think, would get Pete going and take a little bit of that pressure off him and allow him to do the type of things he's done throughout his career.
Yeah, and I don't think that he's going to complain about this, by the way.
No, I mean, and he's also not in a position to complain about it right now. If you're, you know, red hot or hitting, you know, 50 home runs right now, then obviously you could. But after a tough weekend like this, I think that he's on board with it, and there's not much he could say. Let's go to Frank in Bloomfield, New Jersey. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Tiki, Luke.
What's up?
Not much. I'm going to start off with this. You guys are talking about Wawa. So I live in Jersey, right?
So you got him.
So, where I'm at, it's like literally 5 minutes from my house. And they have put it up.
By the way, it's 5 minutes from my house too, Frank, in New Jersey. So they must be a lot of places in New Jersey.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So check this out. There's a thing with the Wawa and 7-Eleven. So the problem is that some places, if you have a 7-Eleven there, you can't put a Wawa literally half a mile or something like that. It's something to do with the mile radius of where and how you could put this place up.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I know in Camden, they're talking about putting a supersized Wawa up there. Now, that's a long ride to get up there. That's close to Philadelphia.
Right.
But that's the main thing with Wawa and 7-Eleven. You can't have them within a mile, 2 mile radius or something like that. But I know there's one, like, in the same town I'm in, that they got the 7-Eleven. But the Wawa is in Belleville, so it's like a town over.
Yeah.
But that's the situation with that. So I'm for that one. I'm going to end, pardon me about that. On to the next thing. The New York Knicks, I heard they just signed Kevin McCullough Jr. And I heard he was averaging like 18-something points a game, I guess, in college. So I want to know what you guys think about him.
That's Loogie's area.
Yeah, look, I mean, I would just say this overall with the Knicks. I think that through the power of friendship, and whether it's adding other dudes and other dogs, I think the Knicks are going to win the NBA title. They signed campaign in an election year, and I love the roster. And I know you guys, you guys had a little fun with this on Friday about the list that Evan put out, and Leon Rose is the top executive, and he is. The Knicks are the most functional franchise in New York right now, something I never thought I would say, you know, a couple years ago even, and that's what they are right now, and I trust all the moves or whatever move Leon Rose and the Knicks are doing. So in that particular instance, like I said, I just love the roster. I know they brought Precious back. So
right. McCullough, they drafted second round. He's just signed a 2-way contract. So okay. We'll see what he.
I think we know the guys that are going to make an impact.
Maybe he can develop. That's fine. But you know, he's not in their immediate plans to contend this year.
No, their overall outlook, though, is amazing. And I just can't wait to play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because I heard from Boston fans how they are this, that, and the other. The bottom line is this. You didn't beat the Knicks. In fact, you know what, Tiki? The more I've thought about it this summer, the Knicks didn't actually lose to the Pacers. I'm not willing to say they lost. I'm holding that in contempt.
What happened?
They didn't lose.
What happened?
They lost to attrition. They didn't lose to the Pacers. So Indiana didn't really technically beat the Knicks. The Knicks are still the uncrowned champions. And like I said, they have dudes, they have dogs. And through the power of friendship, they will do serious damage this year. Now, as far as the other thing with the 7-Eleven, I don't care if it's like, you know, a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. Some guy or gal needs to go to a 7-Eleven, walk a mile, look around. If you don't see a 7-Eleven, open a friggin' Wawa then. I don't care about the mile radius. This is not like eating food and going swimming. Figure out a way to do this. That to me is a fugazi reasoning for not having Wawas in Long Island, which I've always been a proponent of. 888-808-1019 is a number to call. Tiki Barber, Tommy Lugauer, Loogie here. We talked a little bit about the Giants today. Obviously, I was out at camp with Sean and the expectations. And Tiki, as you know, we did the predictions last week. Positive, Tommy.
Yep.
11 wins. And
I had him at 9.
You had him at 9. And nothing I saw today is going to detract me from that 11 wins. And I think Malik Nabers in person, like I said, just, you know, I think he will go down. And look, I love Amani Toomer. I love Odell. I love Ike Hilliard. I think Malik Nabers will go down as the greatest wide receiver in the history of the Giants.
The challenge is going to be, first of all, matching what Odell did and when he finally got on the field. Because remember, Odell was hurt his rookie season. But once he got healthy, it was like, Jesus, this kid is unbelievable.
Yep.
And he set rookie records and he, you know, production was just outstanding for the 2 or 3 years until the contract stuff became an issue. Forget all the other stuff. The contract stuff was ultimately led to Gettleman trading him, you know, after his fifth year. And so it's one, just getting through that early year or two where you establish yourself as one of the best. And then you got to have longevity because that's Toom. Toom played forever.
Oh, yes. Right?
Toom
was
a year in front of me and played 2 or 3 years after me. Toom played for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's the all-time leader in Giants reception. Completely disrespected because he was so consistently good. Never made Pro Bowls, but you knew you could count
on
him.
And he was a hard hat, lunch pail kind of guy. No flash.
Every day.
But when you needed Amani to make a big play,
he was making it.
He was going to make it.
You weren't even thinking about it. If Malik Nabers can turn into that as well, and also have the flash, forget it. He's going to be, he will be the best in Giant history.
Absolutely. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Gentlemen, listen, I'm going to go back to the Giants, and you guys kind of went back to it anyway. So I already spoke to Loogie, and I think he's with me. The over-under number for the Giants is 6. I think it's 6-3 years consecutively. Tiki, tell me if you agree with me.
No, so that's 2 years.
Right. So 2 years ago, right, when the Giants won 9 games, they had already clinched a playoff spot.
So they took, the last game of the season off. They might have won that one. That's 10 games, right?
Yep.
So regardless, last season, the Cowardly Lion, I'm quoting Loogie, lost three games for us. I mean, the Buffalo game, we should have won. Then the Jets game he threw away because he wouldn't let our quarterback actually throw the ball, which is what he's there for.
Yep.
And then the one against Philadelphia when the Giants were dominating the second half. It was 2 weeks before they smashed Philadelphia. They should have won that game too. So you're looking at a team who's been picked to win six games, three consecutive seasons, 1-9, could have won 10. And then last year should have won 9.
Yeah.
And this year they actually have a quarterback. Last year they used 3, and if you have 3, you have none.
Yeah, but the problem, Ray, and you're not wrong, right? Your argument stands up. The challenge is they didn't do it, right? They found ways to not win those games. And look, a lot of those came down to last. I saw this post the other day, and I didn't even realize, I remember it, but it was at least 4 games that came down to the last ish plays of the game, you know, and. They didn't fall their way. You know, one was a Hail Mary, got intercepted. You know, not a Hail Mary, but it was a desperation play at the end of the game. It gets intercepted. I think that was the Eagles. That's what he was alluding to.
Yep.
All right. We had another one where the Rams game where Darren Waller is getting, you know, mugged in the end zone. It goes off his hand. Should have been a redo. It wasn't. And we lose that game. The Jets game, as he was talking about, you know, we lose a fumble. So we don't score points on that last drive.
Yeah, Dable completely botched the Jack game.
They botched that one. But like there was at least 3 games, probably 4, that they could have won.
Yes.
But they didn't.
They didn't.
They didn't. And you are what your record is. And so we know that team was flawed last year. Mm-hmm. We know that once the injuries started to take over, it was really flawed. And the only reason they were in these games is because of how well they were coached and how hard they play. If they're healthy and they're coached the same way, and they play hard the same way, anything can happen. I'm optimistic. I think they're winning 9 games. Tommy has them at 11. But the consensus with anyone who's even watching them, like the reporters over there, they're saying, 5 or 6 games, right? Vegas, some places, are saying 4, right? You just have no idea until you see this team. So, I mean, the preseason starts this weekend. They're not going to see much, but at least you'll see them play hard.
No, absolutely. And Ray brought up Brian Dable. And look, he mentioned the Cowardly Lion, which I've called Brian last year. But 2 years ago, I said he was the people's champ. And even though he looks like a guy that should be working at Blockbuster in the 90s, Teak, he has a guy, you know, you get a burger, you get a beer with him. He's wearing the aviators. I appreciate the laugh 5 seconds later. Right. And he's got the stogie going. And
Always
with the stogie. He just looks like a guy, a man's man, the people's champ.
No doubt.
And then I saw the Cowardly Lion last year when I thought he wasn't aggressive, whether it was the quarterback situation, whether it be the Jet game, whether it be against Buffalo. I thought he threw a few games away. Now, a much slimmer Brian Dable. I see the people's champ coming back. He had the fresh Jordans on, Teak. The ice around his neck. I mean, it was Cash Money Millionaires today. Not a bead of sweat on that bald head. He was looking frosty. And I'm like, man, this is the people's champ. And you could see that little extra pep in his step. I don't know if it's Malik Nabers, Brian Burns, meaning he has much better talent this year. Well, but the guy I saw 2 years ago feels like his back.
Well, you know what? What else is happening is that he's calling the plays.
Yeah.
And the one thing that you hear about from camp is that they are airing it out. Like, it is, go make a big play.
Right.
Go throw this thing downfield. And it's awesome to see because they have the talent to do it. So do it, right? That's what makes it more exciting, I think, for me, from my standpoint. They actually have the talent, and they're
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap. Number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to utilize it instead of just, let's just try to get, first downs. Forget that, man. Try to score a touchdown.
Yeah, and there was a buzz and energy level at camp today and practice today that I at least have not seen in years. A lot of the beat reporters were putting it out there that they haven't seen it in the amount of time that they've been covering the team. There was a different energy today. Maybe it was the iron sharpens iron because obviously Detroit comes in, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the Lions have Super Bowl, you know, aspirations, obviously last year losing in the championship game, and it just felt like the Giants leveled up and said, you know what, we're going to just show everybody out there, whoever's watching this practice, that we are on the level of the Lions, and they were able to go, you know, toe-to-toe and blow-to-blow.
Right.
With the Lions, it was impressive.
Yeah, I don't know if they actually are going to be that, but they're acting that way.
Yeah, for one day, they absolutely were. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tiki Barber, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, Evan and Tiki. Plenty of time for your phone calls on the Mets. Pete Alonso moved to fifth in the order. Giants expectations. Daniel Jones, whether you should play in the preseason or not. And we will get into what happened over the weekend with the Yankees, with Gleyber Torres being taken out of the game by Aaron Boone on Friday night. All right, 4:35 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, Tiki Barber, Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. So, Tiki, as you know, I no longer live in the city. I used to live in Chelsea. I used to walk to work, and thankfully there was never any traffic when I used to walk here. But now I'm like every other poor schlub, and I live in Kew Gardens, and I got to commute on the Long Island Railroad, the Iron Horse, and I got to take subways. And I've been working 6 days a week lately, and I love it. I'm hosting on the weekends. Amazing. So I'm hosting Saturday night, Teague, and I think you were down the shore, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you probably got this storm as well. So I got off the air, I think, like 8 o'clock, and obviously it's like we're in, you know, basically in captivity in here. There are no windows.
True. You have no idea what's actually happening outside.
The planet could basically explode when we're doing the show. We'd walk outside and go, where the hell did the planet go? So
you remember that day it was hazy with the smoke from Canada?
Yes.
I remember walking outside that day thinking, what planet am I on? I felt like I was on Mars.
Right.
And I had no idea because we didn't look outside.
Or when we had the eclipse, remember when Sean went out there?
Yes, yes.
And me and Evan were back here and I go, what eclipse? You couldn't even see it. So we are basically in captivity in here. It's like almost like being like in a casino, right? Like it's 65 degrees and sunny all the time in here. So I'm doing the show, blah, blah, blah. I get done. 8 o'clock. It is pouring rain. Not just like slight rain. It's pouring rain. Now, I'm anti-umbrella. Never go umbrella. Don't like umbrellas. I think they're dangerous. I think people don't know how to walk with them in the city. I got enough to worry about in Manhattan. No, I don't want to get my eye taken out by your umbrella.
So true.
Right?
People don't know how to, especially if it's windy. If there's any kind of wind, forget it. You're in harm's way.
If it's windy, you should not be able to have an umbrella, especially with the wind gusts in Manhattan, because it creates like these 50-mile-an-hour gusts, and the umbrella gets all folded up. It goes flying. It's like having when you're at the beach, and you have the, what do they call it? Umbrella at the beach, too. And it goes flying and decapitates somebody. So you can't have that either. So that if I'm president, that's the rules I would make. So anyway, I'm walking out of here. It's 8 o'clock. It's pouring rain. So I am soaking wet. I go to the one train to go up to Penn Station. I am soaking wet. And, Teague, I know you drive in. For those of you that commute, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm soaking wet. I get onto the subway, and there is no air conditioner.
Oh, God.
You know, all right.
Oh, God.
Can we get some air conditioning? It's bad enough when you get on some of these subways, and you get on there, and you hear, right? Like, that's like the intercom. They can't fix it. And it most likely, when you hear, all they're saying is, all right, South Ferry next, transfer it to C train to go uptown. But what if? What if there's pterodactyls in the subway and they want to kill me? Perhaps I'd want to know that and get off the damn train. Can you fix the intercom and can you fix the air conditioner? So there I am. I'm soaking wet. I'm cold because I'm wet. So I'm really not that mad that the air conditioner isn't working.
Because you'd be freezing if it was actually working.
But then here's the problem. I started to sweat. So now I'm sweating, but I'm also soaked from the rain, so I'm hot. So then I go into another car, and the air conditioner is jacked up. So now I'm freezing, but I'm still sweating. I'm soaking wet. Can the MTA just figure out one central temperature for these cars? It's bad enough that they're packed.
So this is what you have to do. Because I used to take the subway all the time. Because I used to train in Grand Central, take the subway down, come in here. And I stopped doing that because going home, it was miserable.
Yeah.
Because I'd miss the train and I have to wait an hour.
Right.
Right. It's different. It's not like going to Long Island. Going to New Jersey, if you miss it, you're stuck unless you want to try to get to Hoboken and take it. It's just impossible. So I just started driving because it was easier. But what I learned to do because of that exact situation was pack like a windbreaker, but not like a heavy coat. Something that you can just crunch up, and it's a jacket. So it's insulated enough. It can protect against the weather, but it suits you if you get onto a car and it's freezing in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you always have it available, and it just sits in the bottom of your backpack, and it just stays there. Never take it out, because at some point you're going to need it, and you're going to be like, oh, thank God I have this.
Yeah.
And that sounds like what you went through.
I know. I need you basically...
You needed the thank God I have this jacket in my bag.
I need a travel kit as a commuter. And you're right. Like, if you miss... That's the thing with commuting. It's not like you get in your car, and it's like, all right, it's 50 minutes of traffic, or it's 30 minutes, whatever.
At least you're in your car.
You're in your car. You could turn on the fan. You could listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when you're commuting, 1 minute, let's just say I'm 1 minute off on the subway, that could equal an hour if I have a connecting Long Island Railroad train home. So my philosophy is this. If I see a little old man or a little old lady and they're in my way, they're going down. Oh, they're going down. I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want them to get any kind of injuries or a concussion or anything. But I'm not sitting at Penn Station, I don't care how nice it is now, for over an hour, and I'm just not doing that. So if I see a little old lady, you're getting knocked over. And there also needs to be some etiquette in Penn Station. Not saying you have to be sprinting. And I get there's a lot of tourists. It's the summer. It's like being here around Christmas time. But there's got to be a little bit of like pace of play.
Yes.
We need basically a pitch clock in Penn Station, so people are moving. There's too much congregating.
Urgency,
especially in rush hour.
100%.
That's all I ask for. Or I just ask my wife, if you're listening, that we can move back into the city so I don't have to do these stupid trains anymore. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tiki Barber, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. We've discussed a lot of things. Giants, I was at camp today with Sean. Wawa, why there are no Wawas in New York and Long Island. It drives me nuts. We will get into the Yankees next hour and what happened with Gleyber Torres over the weekend. And, of course, Pete Alonso dropped to fifth in the order. Let's go to Larry in Deer Park. What's up, Larry?
Lugie, what's up, man?
Chilling, bro. What's up?
Hey, Tiki, what's going on?
Good, man.
I hated you as a player, I swear, but you're great in the media, man.
Oh, I thank you. I appreciate that. I hope you were like a Cowboys fan or something.
You already know. You already know.
I had to know. What's up, Larry?
Hey, so with Pete Alonso, like, I'm happy he got demoted, because I don't know if he had a talk with Michael Conforto, but he should have, because once he went with Boris, that was it. He got greedy, and you know, the play on the field has declined.
Mm-hmm.
He sucks on the bases. Every time he gets a ground ball to set up a double play or even the scoop, I close my eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, It's only going to get worse as he gets older. So
I mean, it's almost like what Lugie said, Larry. It's like it's in his head. It's not a physical thing.
Yeah.
It's just like something is in his head right now that's throwing his game off.
Yep. Even in his at-bats, like he doesn't work the count. He's looking first pitch, and he doesn't do anything. Chases the sliders. Like, I don't know. He's definitely pressing.
Yeah, he is, and it's funny because – like, I almost feel like what Larry just said, first pitch hunting, is actually the way to get out of it. It's like that's how you get out of your slump,
mm-hmm.
because you know that a pitcher is likely giving you something in and around the zone on the first pitch, right? Even if it's trending out, put bat on ball, and so swing first pitch. But if you're missing and guessing, it's detrimental. It changes, right? It changes your advantage to a disadvantage. And I just don't think Pete knows what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't know how to change his approach to help him. And so as a result, it's just the same old thing over and over and over and over again.
So I think what Carlos Mendoza here did, dropping him to fifth, much like he put Lindor at the leadoff spot, I think this is going to turn Alonso around. Like I said, he's going to set a career high in doubles here. The power numbers, he even said it. He's still on pace for 40 home runs. I think ultimately when the season ends, he will have 40 home runs. I think he's about to go on a tear. And I just think sometimes you just need a little bit of a tweak. Maybe you drop the guy in the order, whatever, day off, just to clear his mind. So you don't want to give him the day off, but you drop him in that order. And I think it'll ultimately turn Pete Alonso around. The other part of that call there too, Teak, and that was a good job by you sniffing it out. And Larry in Deer Park. You know, There are more Cowboy fans in New York than Dallas. I mean, is there just not a worse fan base in the history of sports? They are everywhere. I've been to like most of the states in this country, and if you go into a sports bar in any state in this country on a football Sunday, because they'll be loud,
right,
there are Cowboy fans. Go away. I've had it with this stuff already. And then you go to Dallas, and then there's more like Niner fans there than Cowboy fans if they play the 49ers. Where are the Cowboy fans in Dallas?
How about the Cowboys?
Ah, the worst. The absolute worst. Well, you know what? You haven't won anything in a long, long time. So all those 90s babies that are Bulls fans and Cowboy fans and Notre Dame football fans and whatever.
But it's one thing to grow up because the team was good.
KM to AM.
Like, everybody was a Bulls fan. Like, I was a Bulls fan. You know why? Because I like Michael Jordan.
Tiki doesn't mean that.
No, but hold on. As soon as Michael Jordan wasn't a Bull, I wasn't a Bulls
fan. Oh, you left.
I wasn't a Bulls fan.
Oh.
And so, like,
that's brutal. Because I that was the reason I became a Bulls fan.
Because of Jordan?
Still, of course, and I'm still a Bulls fan.
Right. I just loved watching Michael Jordan. As soon as he wasn't there, they stunk. I was not a Bulls fan.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty decent
so
when they had Butler.
So,
they
didn't why is it so hard to just all of a sudden go, all right, well, I live now in New York. I'll be a Knicks fan. Like,
why is that so hard?
Like, okay, I live in wherever, New Jersey.
Right.
I loved Michael Jordan growing up, yeah. So I was a Bulls fan. He left. They stink. You know, I'll be a Knicks fan now. Why is that hard? Right? Because that's the reason Cowboy fans give you that are here. Oh, they were great in the 80s and in the 90s. They were the best team. They were America's team. They were fantastic. All right. You live here now, right? Or the Giants have won Super Bowls now.
Yeah.
Get over it.
I think that it's a little bit different with the Bulls and Cowboys because the Cowboys still have that sex appeal. It's still cool to be a Cowboys fan. I think there's some sense of like, yeah, the logo, the star. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a sex appeal. Where the Bulls, it's like they were the Bulls because of Jordan. The Cowboys have had different decades where they've had great players.
Yeah, I hear you.
Does that make sense?
It does because, you know, they've had stars all the time.
Right.
They've never, I'm trying to think of the last time they were.
And they had the charismatic owner, right. And they're on primetime all the time.
When
Thanksgiving.
Were they without a star?
Without a star?
I can't think of a time that they were without a star.
I'm bad with this stuff, but is it like, I want to say maybe the 80s, did they have anybody? Maybe they did.
Yeah, but they won after that, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. No, look, and even at times, like I said, Jerry Jones, like they've always had that, they are the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, they've had the personality. So even if they didn't have stars, by the way, it doesn't even matter, Loogie.
Right.
Because they had Jerry Jones.
Right, they're like the Lakers and the Yankees and stuff like that, where the Bulls were just Michael Jordan. And when Michael Jordan leaves, the Bulls leave with him.
Yep.
Where the Cowboys and the Yankees and the Lakers will always be those brands. The Chicago Bulls are not a brand. The Cowboys are a brand, but they are everywhere, and they're obnoxious.
Michael Jordan's brand was bigger than the team.
Yeah, exactly, and you still see that now, right? Obviously, all the Jordan stuff. Like I said, Brian Daboll was wearing Jordans. He's not wearing a Bulls jersey. He's wearing Jordan stuff. Michael Jordan's brand is bigger than the Bulls, where the Cowboys are the Cowboys, much like the Yankees. As great as they are and as many great players they've had, they will always be the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, they're defined as their franchise, not by individual
players. As much
players.
As you want to hate on the Cowboys, they're always going to be the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
Always. Unless they go through a decade or in a decade and a half of just horrendously bad, terrible football, and a generation just learns to hate them.
Yeah, but well, the other thing, too, is like with the Cowboys, and you see this with the Yankees, you see this with the Lakers, you see this like with England, with soccer teams.
Yes.
There are so many people that want to see them fail and root against them.
Right.
So they're the villains.
Right.
So as long as they're like that, they're always going to have fans that want to hate them. That's the other part of it, too, is that I think people like rooting for the team that everybody hates. Like, there's that sense of, like, cockiness and arrogance of, like, I'm a Cowboy fan. Everybody hates me. Yeah, there's a reason we hate you. It's because you're all obnoxious. That's why. And you haven't won squat in forever. All right? How many albums did Frank Sinatra sell last year? Not many. So your time has come. It's come and went. And now we just mock you every year when you fail. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Frank is in Scotch Plains. What's up, Frankie?
What's up, Frank?
Hey, Tommy, Tiki. Hey, just quick note on the Cowboys. Tommy, I think the reason why you have so many fans in the tri-state area, so many Cowboy fans, is because in the 70s, the Jets and the Giants were really, really bad.
Yeah, it's true.
And the Cowboys were always on TV, as well as the Steelers. So you have a lot of Steeler and Cowboy fans that probably
and those circumstances will never happen again because it's too easy to watch other teams.
Right.
It's not just one team.
Right. So, and anyway, I never changed flags. I've been a Giant fan since the days of Joe Passaccia.
Good man. Good man.
Anyway, so Tiki, I'm going to stick to the Giants here, and Tommy, you as well. Daniel Jones, okay? This is, you know, we don't know. We still don't know what this guy can do.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you honestly, and I want you to give an honest opinion. I know you bleed blue like I do, but what, I mean, everything goes according to plan. Offensive line,
this
Malik
year.
Neighbors
about
turns
this
out
year.
To be the next.
Talking about this year, everything goes according to plan.
That's right.
Yep.
It goes according to plan. And I'm sorry, not just this year, but then go moving forward, right?
Got it.
What is the upside for Daniel Jones? Is he, if everything works, his offensive line works, his running game works, the other side of the ball works, everything works, okay? Is he a top 10 quarterback?
He has top 10.
I mean, you got the weapon now, right?
He has
the main
top 10 potential. There's no doubt about it, because he's physically built. And he's big enough and strong enough to be that guy, right? He can make every throw. He's got the touch. He's got the cannon that you've seen a little bit in camp this year with Malik Neighbors. He's an athlete, meaning there's that you got to defend the sixth skill player, who is the quarterback. You got to defend them just like Lamar and Josh Allen and all these other quarterbacks that are mobile and can score with their legs. Like, he's got all of that. And so can he be the franchise quarterback?
Yeah.
His weakness is health.
Yep.
It's just health.
Number Tiki, how about
You talking about from a football standpoint? You talking about an X and O standpoint?
Yeah, finding the open man.
So I know what you're getting at, and I've watched a ton of film on Daniel Jones, and part of the issue with, you know, that second read is that second read was never there. It was never open. Right, so he'd come off of one. So you got one. You got to say, let's say it's a deep over. You're looking for the deep over. The deep over is coming behind the secondary. It's there. It's covered. And now you got to come find your crosser. The crosser got cracked in the middle of the field, or didn't slip by the linebacker, and so your check down's not there. And especially because of how bad this offensive line was, by the time he's looking at his check down or his outlet, he's getting ear holed. Oh, and so his clock just started speeding up. And so it's like, I'm looking at the over. It's not there. I don't have time to look at the check down. I got to run. And when you get that kind of like lack of faith in the protection around you, it almost becomes impossible to be a quarterback.
It hurts your confidence.
Yeah. So think about Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about this, Frank. Think about Pat Mahomes, because he takes some of the longest times to get rid of the ball.
Yep.
Right? And he's standing back there, and he's like, all right, that's not open. Same play. Okay, here comes Kelsey on the drag route underneath. Oh, wait, I don't really like that. Let me go look at this other one. Like, he has so much, you know what I mean? He has so much
He's reading Gone with the Wind back there.
Right. He's got so much time to make decisions that he ends up looking great. And Daniel Jones doesn't have that time. Period. It comes down
to the offensive line.
Comes down to the offensive line. We want to talk about quarterbacks like their, you know, the valuation of them is only about them. It is such a team-oriented position, despite the glory that the individual gets. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's hard to evaluate Daniel Jones fairly. Other than he's been hurt.
Yeah, and you mentioned when you were talking about Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not comparing Daniel Jones to Patrick Mahomes, even though last year I did say Daniel Jones would be a top 10 quarterback, because I think when he tucks the ball and runs, he's as electric as any quarterback
in
the league. That includes Lamar Jackson. I really believe that. He's got incredible speed. He's a great runner of the football and throws a great deep ball. You mentioned Mahomes. What does Daniel Jones not have that Mahomes has? Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's knowing where, no matter what, I'm going to look here, I'm going to look there, I'm going to look there. I got Travis to go to. He's never had that on his team.
A lot of great quarterbacks have that. Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, right?
Tom Brady, Gronk,
any of those guys. But just think about the tight ends for now. Gronk and even Aaron Hernandez before all the chaos stuff. Think about
Tony Gonzalez.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez. And I had these conversations with Matt. He'd be like, Tony would tell him, if I'm covered, I'm open.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Meaning, if there's one guy on me, I'm open. Throw it to me. I'll catch it. Daniel Jones hasn't had that player.
Yeah. And now he's not a tight end.
Right. And the evolution of that position, that like tight end position, has created I don't want to call it automatic because it's never automatic, but almost automatic completion.
Absolutely.
The Giants need that guy. That's why Darren Waller, the signing of him, was worth the risk. It didn't work out, obviously, but it was worth the
risk. Yeah, his body just broke down. He was shot. He wasn't the same player. But, I mean, I know he's not a tight end, but I think Malik Nabers is that type of guy. We saw it at camp today. Sean and I were out there. Daniel just threw up a ball to Malik, and he made the catch. Now, he did have a foot out of bounds, but basically, it showed you his ability to just, hey, I'm going to go get it to me.
Right.
We also saw Jalen Hyatt break one, and I think Hyatt, who had a bad rookie season, I loved him at Tennessee. I watched him a lot. I think with Malik there, Jalen Hyatt is going to elevate his level because of the attention that goes to Malik. But having these type of receivers, Daniel Jones never had that. He had Saquon, and he had his legs. That's it. And that's not a slight at Slayton. There are these other guys. He never had anything close to Malik Nabers on this roster.
So you hope Daniel Bellinger becomes the player he was when he was a rookie.
Sure.
Turns into that player.
Yeah, or Theo Johnson.
And then Theo Johnson becomes the dog that they talked about on Hard Knocks.
Yep, and then the other thing with Daniel Jones too today, because it made the rounds, and there was obviously a lot of, you know, fights at camp today. Daniel Jones got into it or got, you know, into the middle. And I wonder with Daniel Jones, this is the kind of guy that sat there and watched Hard Knocks. In a lot of ways, the majority of the fan base turned their back on Daniel Jones. I get it, he gets hurt a lot. In a lot of ways, the franchise turned their back on Daniel Jones. This, to me, is a guy... I don't think Daniel Jones has ever gotten to a fight. This guy went to Duke. What, did he get in a fight at the library because a guy was sitting in a cubicle too long that he booked? Like, when would Daniel Jones ever get in a fight in his life?
Right.
So you're seeing...
It's just not his personality.
The beard. He's Hollywood Hogan. He turned heel. So I think you're getting a more, you know, Daniel Jones that's just, you know, motivated to show everybody... I can be better than this, but it ultimately, and it's a broken record, but it comes down to health. He's got to stay healthy, and that's why we brought it up earlier, and I wasn't able to chime in on it. I'm not playing him in the preseason. It's not worth the risk.
I agreed.
It's not worth the risk.
I don't need to see him in the preseason. They're going to have two more, right? Because it's only one with the Jets, right? One
practice, joint practice? They're doing one joint practice with the Jets.
Two more joint practices that are... essentially live, but he doesn't have to risk getting hit.
Yeah.
That's fine for me.
Totally. Absolutely.
You know what's interesting about that, Tiki, is that how many people wouldn't care if Jones got hurt week one, but they care if it's a preseason game.
Right.
It's like that difference between it means nothing or it actually means something, but it's the same concept.
Well, it's like Aaron Rodgers last year. He got hurt in that first game. If he got hurt against the Giants, I'm telling you right now, Jet fans would have left the planet. They would have left the planet. Right. They would have given up, and they would have left the planet.
He might have gotten hurt against the Giants.
Right.
I know he had a calf injury, but maybe it got exacerbated in the preseason game.
Exactly. So that's why this whole fiasco with Rodgers, and we can get into that at some point this week as well, and I'm sure you guys talked about it last week, but I mean, the idea of any of these guys playing in the preseason, it's just not worth it. And you know what, Teak, and I remember you kind of saying this last year, I want to say that first half of the first game is almost like a preseason game for a lot of these guys now. They're just working through stuff.
Yeah.
That's why the scores are very low in week one, and it's like kind of bad football.
It's ugly.
It's ugly. But you live through it because if your quarterback's on the bench, you're done if he's hurt.
It's become the preseason.
Yeah.
Those first quarters of those, or first halves, I should say, of the week one games, it's become like the preseason.
Right.
Like, oh, wait, this is what it's like. Oh, I forgot what it's like to get smashed in the face. Oh, okay, now I got it. It becomes the preseason.
Right, and the NFL is going to keep adding more and more games. There's going to be less preseason games, and then the first three games of the regular season will basically be the preseason.
Right.
Except
you just hope everybody stays healthy.
Except they count, yeah. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, Tiki Barber, Evan and Tiki. We got a Cinco to 5-0 coming up. We're going to talk about the Gleyber Torres situation, the Giants, our expectations. A lot to do here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.